What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And our lovely Taylor Tomlinson won't be joining us today. She is fresh off of 19 sold-out shows in Philly, which is amazing. We're very, very proud of you, Tay. But we do have two incredible guests joining us.
Oh, and my gosh.
My jaw is still to the floor. That was
you
such
probably
a great
have
podcast.
To change your pants. After that episode.
You know, well, between the IBS and the ghost stories, I can't. My body is not equipped to handle all of that in one hour.
Oh, my God.
We have on the amazing Em and Christine, hosts of the And That's Why We Drink podcast. It's an incredibly popular, like, you guys, it has like 15,000 iTunes ratings.
Super popular show.
Through the roof. Yeah, very popular comedy, true crime, and paranormal podcast. They're in their fourth year. They've been on sold-out tours. They're in the top 20 comedy podcast charts. And we got to just pick their brains about some of the most intense paranormal experiences they've had, some true crime things, some of their own personal, like, mental health journeys, and what they do as self-care practices after interacting with ghosts.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Doing podcast episodes on some really, really dark things. And so we just had an incredible time talking to them, and we're excited to share this episode with you. So it is, our conversation with Em and Christine of the And That's Why We Drink podcast.
All right, you guys, we have Em and Christine here from And That's Why We Drink. Give it up.
Yay.
Is everybody clapping? Oh, thanks.
I seriously just messed up your intro. And then that's why we drink.
It's okay. Sounds like you've been drinking. Yeah.
my mom still calls this is why we drink. So it's fine.
It's hard to remember. It's a lot of words we force people to remember. So it's all good.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being here. So we actually polled our listeners about a month or two ago and asked them, hey, what other podcasts do you love listening to? And your show was submitted so much.
Oh,
like,
my God.
We have to reach out and get them on the show.
Oh, that's so nice.
Aww. So excited to have you. I listened to a few episodes. You guys are so funny, hilarious, such great content, really, like, captivating, on the edge of my seat content.
Aww.
Really love your show. So
thank
I'm
you.
A fan. But yeah, we love to kick the show off with a favorite or least favorite quote. So if you both have one, or you, just one of you, I'm going to leave it up to you.
Do you, Christine?
Yeah, do you?
I do.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, well, if you'll indulge me, I have two. So I've been watching a lot of deleted scenes from The Office, and there was a quote in there I didn't know existed up until recently. And apparently in episode 16, I think of season 6, Michael Scott said, "The only time I set the bar low is for Limbo." And that one resonated with me and impacted me. And then my other, my long-term personal favorite one is actually my high school senior quote in the yearbook. It's from David Bowie, and it's, "I don't know where I'm going from here, but I promise it won't be boring."
Well, you weren't screwing around there, because
nope.
Senior, you did not know you'd one day have a podcast literally about ghosts, and here
I remember submitting it into my yearbook, and at 17, I was like, oh, now I really have to deliver in the future. Yeah.
You're setting the bar high, see? Yep. In the hand.
Yeah, everybody knows people go back and double check your yearbook quote to be like, did this bitch actually do it, or is she a phony?
I'm the only one for sure, but I still like gave myself all this weird pressure. So I'm glad that I'm riding that wave.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. I mean, I guess I'll go. So I'm one of those obnoxious people who has like an entire Pinterest page like devoted to my favorite quotes, and I like save like all of them, and I'm like, I'm gonna get this as a tattoo someday, and I have like 400 of them, so hopefully I don't get them all tattooed on my body. But there's one recently that I read, I don't even know who said it, I probably should, and it's not like one of my favorite quotes of all time, but it's definitely like relevant, which is someone's opinion. Oh, see, now I don't even know how to quote it. Hang on.
It's okay. Just say whatever you want.
All the time.
I'm just misquoting it. I don't even know who said it. It's someone's opinion of you is none of your business, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like trying to remember that, like, if someone has like thoughts or feelings about you, that's none of your business. That's their business. So I'm like, that's actually very relevant as someone who's, I listened to your people pleasing episode earlier today, and I was like, yeah, that's like right on brand of like, sometimes I have to remember if someone's going to think something bad about you, like, just that's their business, not yours. So that's my extremely long-winded way of explaining one of my Pinterest saves.
No. Oh, I love it. Those are all so solid. I saw Kelsey was on the edge of her seat when Em was like, it's from The Office, because that's Kelsey's favorite show. She's going to quote it at the same time.
I feel like I've been binging it for a solid 3 years in a row now. Yeah. Like every day it's on in the background. I've been listening to the Office Ladies podcast and all that. So equally a fan.
Yeah, we're like heavily known to quote them throughout the Office.
You are in the right place. I'm staring at, I have a Dwight bobblehead right there. I have a Dundee award right there.
Oh my God, for my birthday, Em got me the Office subscription box. So now I'm like collecting like all sorts of fun little gizmos.
Also, our assistant Eva, I think on her anniversary of working with us, her first anniversary, we got her a Dundee as like the...
get you. We're on the same page here.
Yeah.
I had an Office themed wedding.
Okay, nope, you win.
Wait a minute.
you topped all of it.
Did Scrantonicity play? I'm confused. Wait a minute.
Oh my God.
That's great. But have you guys visited the actual Dunder Mifflin building in Los Angeles? Are you guys both based in Los Angeles?
I was for 5 years, but I just moved. But I'm flying back every month, so I feel like I still work there.
I only live like 15 minutes away from the Dunder Mifflin building. So I'm very excited to say that I have gone there a few times.
Same.
Frequent visitor.
Same. I am like lurking in the shadows there.
Have both of you on a list somewhere.
Yes, probably.
Probably. I feel like the security has gotten higher and higher each time I visit. And so I'm like, this is me. Like, this is my
house. I'm causing this problem.
This is because of me, because I'm trying to scale the walls, basically. But I love that you guys love that show. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. We're on it.
So good. Christine, you have had incredible success with your show. I know we just met, but we're so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
It's really amazing. And we would just love to know, how did you both meet? How did this show come to be? What is the origin story here?
Oh boy. Tell our love story.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Every time we get asked that question, I like inside my head, like roll my eyes, 'cause I'm like, Christine's going to make me say it.
I like to be like serenaded with our love story.
I'm always aware before the question's over that it's my turn to speak. So we met when we both lived in Boston. We went to grad school at Boston University, and we met there, and we actually, not in a bad way or anything, but we weren't friends. We just ran in different circles. And I knew she existed. And you actually, Christine, we were across the street neighbors from each other. So I knew what building she lived in. And
it was like, we took every class together. So like, we knew each other well. It just like, we weren't friends for some reason.
It's funny in hindsight, if there was like a movie of our story, it would be a very cute scene that we actually sat next to each other in comedy writing.
That's precious.
And I remember sitting next to her and being like, I'm never gonna use this. And so I slept a lot in that class.
Yeah, you slept through that whole class.
So we knew each other. And the final semester of our program was they would send us out to Los Angeles so that we could do internships and network. And after that semester in LA, either you move back home after graduation or people would stay out here and try to further their networking. And Christine and I were like the only two people who stayed. And so even we weren't close out of desperation. We were like, I guess we have to be friends now. and so I'm really big on like harvest festivals and all the fall spooky stuff. And so I texted her and I was like, hey, if you want, there's a harvest festival if you want to come. And so she showed up and we went there, and it was a very awkward day in the beginning just because we didn't know each other. And our friendship really solidified when we went on a tractor ride together. And we were stuck on a tractor, so we had to talk. And we ended up finding out that we didn't follow each other on social media. So we added each other, and I was looking through her Twitter and I was like, wow, you're really funny. And then somehow we got on the topic, I guess, cause it was spooky season. We were talking about ghosts, which led to serial killers and things like that. And we realized we had that in common, and we ended up,
you guys are serial killers.
Good. You were both serial killers. we're gonna workshop this story later and tweak.
We start talking about paranormal and true crime stuff, and realize we had that in common. And so, on that same ride, she asked if I listened to any podcasts, and I said, "What's a podcast?" And then we started hanging out pretty regularly after she showed me a few of her favorites. So I started listening to them. And then only like 2 months into hanging out all the time, I asked if she wanted to start one with me.
And I said no, to be fair. I just like to be clear about this, because I said absolutely not, in a nice way. But I was like, that seems like a lot of work. And we don't know each other very well. And I was just like in a really not great place. So I was like, it's hard for me to even get out of bed in the morning. I don't want to do a podcast. And then husband, who's my boyfriend at the time, was like, you need a hobby. So please, dear God, like do something, make a podcast. I don't know, do something. And so I agreed. And then, we kind of became friends as we did the podcast, like learned about each other as we did it alongside people who were listening. So it's kind of a unorthodox story.
It's one of the reasons I think the podcast probably did so well is because people were learning about us as we were learning about each other. So it became, it's almost like they're in on the early
like a
part of the friendship.
Yeah, everybody.
That's pretty similar with our show as well. We met, and then the three of us started to get to know each other and become better friends through the podcast.
More people should do that. Maybe not, because I do the true crime side. So I'm like, I also don't want to, you know, endorse like going to people's houses that you don't know very well. But at the same time, sometimes it works. So I don't know. Use your best judgment.
It's pretty adorable. I guess you guys could probably say the same thing, that now we have our entire friendship on record, basically.
That's true.
Yeah.
We have our first fight on record on audio. Yeah, everything was
really
recorded.
Wow.
All of it.
Our poor future children and grandchildren would be like, God, we've heard it all before.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, same.
What? That is so great. You guys are big advocates about, you know, therapy, mental health, all that stuff, which is, you know, woven into the show as well. Can you kind of share whatever you're comfortable with sharing about your own journey with therapy or breakthroughs you've had or your background in any way? Whoever would like to go first.
Yeah, well, we've never done couples therapy or group therapy. And maybe we should try that someday. That'd be an interesting experience. But
that'd be fun. I feel like we'd somehow learn more about each other.
Yeah, I think we'd still be surprised somehow. Yeah,
record it. Record it for the podcast.
Actually, that should be our spinoff. Yeah.
Now that would be, oh, then we'd, yeah, yikes. Yeah. Talk about our first fight on a podcast. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, Em, who wants to go first?
I guess me. So let's see. I've been going to therapy on and off pretty much my whole life, just as a child of divorce. I think my mom was like, let's get you in there quick. and so I've been going since before I can remember. And then depending on my moves or anything like that, you know, it takes a while to find a new therapist. I've found a lot in LA and then had to switch out. So I'm currently not in therapy, although I am looking for a therapist. But the only thing that I've ever really been diagnosed with, and I say that loosely because I have my own opinions, I don't really think I fit the criteria, is like PTSD from any divorce or family issues. I also, this isn't mental health, like therapy specific, but when I was 12, I was diagnosed with Tourette's. And that's about it. The rest is all self-diagnosed. I have.
we love to do that on the podcast.
Oh yeah,
don't we all? Yeah.
I know I have a sleeping problem. I like cannot get myself to go to bed before like 4 a.m. at the earliest, which isn't fun. Like when I also run like a company with someone else, where like I'm waking up at like 11 or noon, and there's nothing I can do to get myself up. And I also have a very strong belief that I have ADHD, but apparently there's like this huge issue with if you are born female, and it's really hard to get a diagnosis for that. I think ADD, also autism, apparently it's a lot harder if you were born female, because when they did all of the early research for criteria and diagnoses, it was all with just male-born people. And wow. So
really? I did not know that.
So it's a lot harder to get a diagnosis because at least ADHD presents itself differently based on, you know, whether you were born female or born male. And so since it doesn't present the way it that textbooks suggest,
yeah,
it's harder to get a diagnosis. So dealing with that right now, that's why I'm trying to find another therapist.
Yeah.
Tidbits, what a bag of fun.
Bag of fun. That's what we are. That's our slogan.
That's exactly what it is.
And Christine, what do you got going on?
Oh, so much. I'll try not to, you know, bore you, but no, so I kind of had the opposite experience where I was, also a child of divorce, but Em and I bonded on that early on. But my parents are both from Germany. Therapy is just like not a thing that they did or like that we understood. So I did not see a therapist till I was in Boston in grad school. And I was like at my wit's end. And I was like, I don't even know how to go about this. But I like, I don't know. I stumbled into somewhere and was like, can somebody help me figure this out? So I finally eventually figured out how to get myself in therapy, which is a very hard thing. And a lot of people do write in and they're like, I want to go to therapy and I don't know how. And so I think right. That's like something society generally has to work on, helping people get to that step, especially like young people. So I've been going to therapy for a while now, found somebody in LA that I really loved. And then we both ghosted each other, which was really weird. Especially because one of my, how appropriate, right? I know. Yeah. There's like double layers there.
Go on brand for you guys.
Go on brand. Especially as someone with like big, you know, commitment issues and like boundary issues, I was like, well, she shouldn't have let me ghost her and she shouldn't have ghosted me, because it's just like, that's exactly how I wanted to end the, the relationship. And I was right. Like, that's probably not the healthiest way for me to have gone about that. But so I just moved to Cincinnati, and like within like 3 weeks, I found somebody here who is like super awesome and super like open-minded and like really involved in the LGBT community. And she just like really, because I was worried moving from like a big city like LA to like somewhere small, more small town. But yeah, she's really awesome. And yeah, working on a lot of shit. I mean, there's like, PTSD, OCD, all the you know, well, ABC letters.
Combined, I mean, probably the biggest things that we talk about a lot on our show are anxiety and depression.
Oh, well, yeah, those are the big ones. So,
why even mention them at this point?
Who doesn't have those?
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of stuff. This is like a new one, and that I was going to tell you about this next week on the podcast, actually. But I've recently discovered there's this like a neurological disorder, I guess it is, called DTD, which is like topographical, like you have an inability to create maps in your own head and like understand your where you are in relation to your surroundings. And that's something I've struggled with my whole life. And on my podcast with my brother, I just kind of blurted out one day, like, can somebody help me and like email me to figure out what this is? Cause I'm so bad at directions, but not just like, oh, ha ha, I'm bad at directions. Like I literally can't get around even my own house.
I can confirm that a lot of times Christine will just kind of blindly follow me, and even to places we've been
your house
a million times.
And yeah. I'm like, oh, we're not, you were like, I'm going home, and I just follow you all the way there. And then I'm like, oh, I don't live here. I don't know why I followed you here. I'm just really bad at relating to my surroundings. So I found out that that's an actual neurological developmental thing, and I've been working through that and dealing with that. So I feel a lot better now that I can actually put a label on that. And it's like, not just me, you know, my mom was always like, you just don't pay close enough attention. But it's like, no, I literally can't like build maps with my brain, which is really wild. But
what does it stand for, DTD?
Okay, so I keep saying it wrong, so I want to make sure I say it correctly before I get a bunch of emails.
Okay.
It's called developmental topographical disorientation. And it's like, it has a lot to do with like, I don't know, I had really bad motor skills issues too when I was little, and I think there's some relation there, just like developmentally. Okay. So anyway, I just feel a lot better that it's not just me, you know, driving in circles all the time by myself. It's apparently a real thing. So that's my dump on you guys, my weekly therapy dump on you.
I'm so glad you shared that, because we've never heard that. I feel like I have bad spatial awareness with my car, with driving. I get a lot of anxiety driving on the freeway if I'm in the far left or right lane, and then there's like the cement.
Oh, right. The guardrail.
Yeah. I get, there's just something that happens in my head where I'm like, what if I am way closer to that than I think I am?
And you're going so fast, and you're like just 1 inch. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's me driving down narrow roads. Like if there's another car parked on like on either side of narrow roads, I'm like, I'm going to hit someone for sure. There's no way I'm not.
Yeah. I have a very bad understanding of where my car begins and where it ends. And if I'm trying to park on the side of a road and I'm pulling over to the right, you know, in that case, it's like, you're not even on that side of the car as you're driving. I almost every time scrape the tire on that curb
because
like how does anybody know? I can't fucking know. I don't know.
I don't either. I just guess. Also,
I just got rid of my car, so that
actually that's a great solution.
Get rid of it. There
you go. I'm terrified of driving in reverse. Like I can't do it, like, because I'm always afraid something, like there's gonna be something in my blind spot. But Christine, on the other hand, if there's any superpower she has, I've never seen anyone drive in reverse. Like you're like baby driver. Like you're just like
Jason Bourne.
I feel like you're more comfortable driving backwards than forwards.
I am a little bit. Yeah. And I think, I don't know why, maybe because I have no sense of direction, I just got really good at driving, or maybe it's just because in Cincinnati, all we did was drive around all day long. I have no idea, but yeah, that's one of the few talents I have, is actually driving. I think it's just because we had a long ass driveway, and so I would have to like,
oh yeah,
drive that's backwards for years.
I'm blown away every time.
Yeah. Well, that's a skill not everybody has. People who voluntarily back into parking spots as a I'm always just like, who are you?
Why are you doing this?
Jeez, that seems so much more nerve-wracking. But
it's one of those skills that people have, or when they back in voluntarily, it's like, I hate you, but then when I analyze myself, I'm just jealous of you. Like,
yeah. That's a good point.
That's a big driving flex. I'm like, well,
yeah.
bold move.
So I would love to hear like the craziest supernatural experiences you've either had personally or just that have been discussed on the show.
Oh God, so many. So many.
Do you have one in mind, Christine?
Let me think.
Are you I was just gonna say, have you guys started the podcast because you both did have your own supernatural experiences, or you just happened to be very interested in that sort of a thing?
I think maybe a combination. I think when we first started talking about that stuff, we, you know, threw in some of our own personal stories. Like, I personally have had a lot of supernatural stories, and Christine has had some, but you also have a lot of true crime stories.
Right. So unfortunately, it
worked out why we covered what we cover.
When we met, Em had been a paranormal investigator in college, like as a job. And so when I heard that first, I was like, shit, I have so many questions for you. Cause you know, throughout high school and undergrad, like I had not met somebody who A, cared about ghosts like I do, and B, like actually had like job experience in that world.
Yeah.
Got paid for it. And so, and I was working, like I had just somehow stumbled my way into a temp job at a private investigation company. So I was like, you know, telling Em these stories of like, I got to dig through this person's like, you know, files and like find out all this crazy crime shit. And then Em was telling me stories about their paranormal background, and so it kind of turned into this tornado of chaos, and then
a tornado of chaos is exactly it. Yeah. I guess my favorite story to tell is I have a few favorite stories from when I had that job. One of my favorites is having to you guys can take this if you would like it as material, because I could never do any stand-up comedy. But if I could, I would put this into a bit.
I'm like about to take notes. I don't know what you're about to say.
But I had at one point to teach a ghost about iPhones.
Oh, that's right.
I had to teach a ghost what the internet is. So like, because we realized a lot of our equipment that we were using, the more equipment we use, the less activity we actually got. And at one point someone realized like, maybe they're scared of the machines. And then all the machines went off, like as a confirmation that they were scared. And so we started asking yes or no questions. Like, would you feel comfortable if we explain this to you and how this works and that it's not going to hurt you? And eventually we had to figure out that they were most afraid of the smartphones, because we were doing so many things with it, and it was probably overwhelming since they died in the 1600s. I had to explain like what a text was, and I was like, you know, when you go to the post office, like I had a
when you take your horse and buggy.
And so I tried to explain like how we were contacting each other. I was like, it's like instant post office. And so then I had to explain
instant pigeon carrier, you know.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we would do with our smartphones is if we knew, like, for example, the one house we were in happened to be owned by a tobacco farmer. He was the biggest tobacco farmer in Virginia. And so a lot of times we would show random pictures and be like, if you can stand by my shoulder and look down at this device, when you see a picture that means something to you, make one of the machines go off. And so we would show kind of pictures that didn't mean anything, like a chair or a pencil. And then we showed a tobacco pipe and all the machines went off. And so we had to explain how we were showing the pictures to them. It was a real headache, but that's my favorite story, because it's just so bizarre. So
I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact that you have interacted with ghosts.
Oh, that part too. There's that part.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, well, it's so funny because I feel like I asked Em a million questions and stuff. And then when Em and I started touring for fun, I started booking us in all these haunted hotels, which became not very fun soon afterward. But like then Em and I started having experiences together. And I was like making him teach me the machines and stuff. And so it just became almost like normal that now when I'm with Em, I'm like, let's talk to a ghost. And we just like pull out the stuff. Yeah. And I, like, especially in New Orleans, like we're super haunted places like that. It just kind of becomes our normal.
It was very easy for us to contact ghosts when Christine was in charge of booking all the hotels and would only put us in the most haunted hotel of each city.
Yeah.
So by the end, it was ironic because we were like so sleep deprived because we were on tour at all, and also because we couldn't sleep at night because of the ghosts. Because
Em would come banging on my door and be like, nope, I'm done. I'm sleeping in your room, or vice versa. Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Kelsey, have you shat yourself yet?
I have. I have fully had a bowel movement.
Well, I was going to ask, do you guys even believe in ghosts? Because I feel like some people are like, cool, weirdos. Like,
yeah. This is...
I do, but all that scares the shit out of me. Like, when I've been touring, there have been a few times where I've had to stay in a place that I knew was haunted, and I do not sleep well. That terrifies me.
I feel like it's really fun when you're like with somebody and when you're like, oh, we can tell this on the on the podcast later, but like when you're right. by yourself, it's a whole different matter. Like, yeah. No, this is not fun for me anymore. I don't enjoy this.
When you're alone in the middle of Kentucky, you're like, okay, hard pass. Maybe next time just the Hilton.
Christine also has a haunted ass house that she moved into where like the stairs are like taken out of an old haunted church or something.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot going on here. The house was built
it's when just I like bought the Titanic it, staircase yeah. you're living.
When I bought it, they were like, oh, it was built in 1895 or something. And then when I got the records, it was built in like the 1870s. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And then like looking back, it was used as like tenement housing and all these different families have lived in it. People have died in it. People were born in it. Super old house, like right on the border of like Cincinnati, Kentucky. And just a lot of stuff going on. And then, yeah, the staircase that's like in the middle of our house, like between the kitchen and living room, was like salvaged from this church from like the 1700s that was being taken down. And they like just plopped it in our house. And now I see like, it's super creepy. Out of the corner of my eye all the time, I'll like see it looks like somebody walking down the stairs, and I'll like spin around thinking it's like my husband or something, and there's nobody. And at first I was like, it's just a light, like, you know, playing tricks on me. But then my cat, who hangs out in that room, started watching it as I saw it and would like watch it go down the stairs and across the room. And I was like, okay, this is no longer just like a fun jokey thing. This is like something's walking past me. So I don't know. It's a creepy spot. I'm here alone right now. So hopefully
we're in the clear. You would think because we have a paranormal show that we're like not afraid of this stuff, or like even like I was an investigator, so I wouldn't be afraid, but I'm terrified of, so like hearing
really?
That. Yeah. It's very weird that
I think Em's like, more scared than I am, because I'm always like, Em, let's play with a Ouija board. And Em's like, absolutely not. And I'm the one who's always like, come on.
Do you think ghosts like seek you out now because you have the show and they know you're like a safe space and you can see them?
I wonder, sometimes I think just the more we talk about it, like the more we think about it and talk about it, the more you're like just opening yourself up to experiencing things. That's my theory anyway.
I also think that, not only are we super open to it and therefore probably easier to contact or connect with, but also we have a really wonderful audience who likes to send us very haunted things.
Like through the mail.
And so on top of us being open-minded to it, we also have
a collection.
Oh, we're like a mini Zach Bagans haunted museum. Yeah. And so like,
but like without charging entrance fees, like we don't even make money off it. We just sit in the middle of a haunted room.
Just get terrorized.
So I think it's just kind of all that energy plus us being open to it definitely makes it more possible.
Yeah. And I like do a thing that I recently realized was maybe not the smartest, but I get a lot of my stuff from estate sales, which like is cool because it's like cheaper, but also I'm like, it's just from dead people's houses. So who knows what I'm collecting in this place. But anyway, Em isn't fond of, you know, my behavior in that way. But
self-helpless listeners, don't you dare send us anything.
Don't do it. I don't recommend
it. Invitation. We don't want them.
We've gotten some creepy stuff, like with no return address. Like some things where you're like, okay, this is an entertainment podcast and like we talk about creepy stuff, but then suddenly it's like in your home and you're like, okay, I don't know what to do now. Like even we're not prepared for this.
And even like at live shows, we do meet and greets where people bring us gifts, and like at meet and greets, people have given us like teeth and like
from like dead bodies.
One person had us take a picture with like ashes of like someone they loved, and like gave us like there was one guy who was really upset because he forgot his present, so he left the meet and greet to run to his car to bring it back, and it was like a box of like 70 different pairs of teeth from around the world. It was like
what?
And then our favorite story was during every well, we were doing it before quarantine, but every month we would have a video where we would open all the gifts from that had come in from that month. And one of the gifts one time, literally like out of a horror movie, it was this massive wooden crate that you had to like pry open. It had hay and straw in it, and then there was this doll and a like porcelain horse or something, and the notes
like a
said,
big
like,
doll
a big big doll like American all American girl doll or something, and a horse, and a note that said like, this has been in our home forever, but every time we bring it back into the house catches on fire and we don't know what to do with it.
It was so- like, we had it in my daughter's room and she started having sleep paralysis and seeing like a man in the corner. So, and she said it was because of the doll. So we put the doll in the barn and then the barn burned down. So we thought we'd send it to you. And we were like,
So your life catches on fire.
Thanks. Right.
Yeah.
But then I get to the point where, and at the time we were opening them in my house. So I was
my
like,
eyes are watering. I feel like I'm about to.
Oh no. See, it's scary. And so we got this thing and Em was like, okay, I'm going home. Bye. Good luck with that. And I was like, shit. So suddenly I had this doll and I was like, Em, I'm just putting it in the closet. Like, I don't know what to do with it. Cause I didn't want to dump it in a dumpster. Cause I'm like, then it's going to come haunt me. Cause I like threw it in the trash, but I don't want to like burn it. Cause I don't know what the hell that's going to do. I don't want to like, well, start a wildfire in California probably. Yes. So I'm not going to go there.
Yes.
But I'm like, but I don't want to keep it. So I don't know what I ended up doing. It's just we get put in weird positions.
We Marie Kondo'd it. It didn't spark joy. That's
yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we've gotten things from like vigils and stuff. Like we get some weird, weird
like funeral.
Presents.
Yeah. Like candles that were used at like victims of serial killers.
What? Okay. So are your listeners thinking that you guys are like mediums now? Because you talk about it so much that you think maybe you have a better chance of reaching the other
question.
Side than they do.
I think they think that part of me thinks that some of them like to try to top the others and like give us like the most like outlandish
like look what
gift.
I have. Right, right, right.
Okay.
And some of them I think actually probably see us as more expert in what we're talking about. Like I know a lot of people reach out to me and say like, I have a demon in my basement, what do I do? And I'm like, I call a priest, I don't know. Like, like I can't.
Yeah, we're just like entertainers, we're not like experts by any means.
Right. But
yeah.
A lot of people think because we talk about it all the time, we must have at least more knowledge than them in it. Right. But
which
so,
we probably should, but like we don't, so
no.
we're not licensed to be helpful in that way. And yeah, I mean obviously 99.9% of the things people send us are like lovely and meaningful,
lovely.
But then sometimes we're like, oh dear, what do we do with this candle from a funeral? Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my god, I have so many questions.
So do I.
Okay, so
I'm like, what are you guys' lives? This is crazy.
It's just
okay, so
what bizarre.
Do you think
I don't
ghosts
know.
Are doing here? Like all these stories that you have and these experiences and stuff. What do you think? They just haven't gone to the other side. Is there another side? We all just kind of hang out around here when we die and we live in the same home in a different dimension. What do you think is going on? What's your theory?
I mean, I'll just say from my perspective, the more stories Em tells on the show and the more that we hear from listeners, like the more confused I get and like the more theories I hear. Like, I just feel like at the beginning, we probably could have been like, oh, it's probably this, this, or this. And then like the more stories we hear, we're like, oh my God, like we never thought about that. Or I've never heard about a ghost that does this thing, strange thing, or demons. And then there's also, you know, cryptids. And I feel like it just gets more convoluted the more we talk about it.
Yeah, I have no idea. I know I usually just run with my mom's theory. She always grew up thinking that she has what she calls a bubble, which is like all of your loved ones that have passed on are on this earth just waiting for you to pass on. Then when everyone passes on, they all reincarnate together. I think that's a very like
that theory,
a very nice, calm thing. But then I remember there's like demons and like ghosts in Christine's house, and who were they? And like
and like dolls that burn down the barn. Yeah, right. Like whose posse are they in?
So I'm like, I know. I just stick to my bubble and everything else. I kind of just like, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. So.
Yeah, we're not sure really. I mean, I think there's a lot of theories that I think make sense, like especially for things like I saw a ghost once after we started the podcast. Actually, I was like, I've never seen a ghost. And then I went to like the Whaley House in San Diego and like saw an apparition. And I was like, well, I guess I'm never going to like, you know, complain about not seeing ghosts anymore because it's a really freaky thing. But I feel like that was like a residual haunting where it was like the guy does the same thing over and over, like a tape replaying almost, and people see that same thing happen all the time. So it's not like an intelligent haunting where it's like watching you and interacting and stuff. It's just like doing what he did during his life over and over again. So I think that is definitely something that happens where I don't even know if it's them. Maybe it's just their energy is like replaying over and over again something they did during their lifetime. So I think that's a real theory. But then again, there's like ghosts that can haunt your dreams and like
that could punch you in the face. Yeah. You
set your barn on fire. So I don't know what those are doing here. So I'm kind of out of theories at that point.
So Em, when the ghost was communicating with you through like the machines and stuff, and you were teaching the ghost how to use an iPhone, yes. What was the result of that? Did they end up giving you a message? Did they tell you what they were doing there? Or was it just to see like, all right, how many of you fuckers are in the house?
So that was actually a house that I worked at almost, I think weekly. I went to that house. And at that point we were just trying to see how much information we could get from them. And we kept bringing in new equipment, trying to keep them entertained because we had learned pretty quickly that they were just bored of us. Because outside of getting, outside of actually like investigating, which we did before and after, the main part of my job was being a tour guide. So we would have people come to these houses and follow us around the neighborhood. And we had all this equipment for them to use. And then we would have them kind of, instead of a ghost tour where you're kind of guided from house to house and hear stories and then move to the next house, we would take you into each home and you would sit there for like a good 10, 20 minutes and do your own investigations with the equipment we provided. So we realized that if I were leading the investigation with a bunch of guests, because I was the one talking, they already knew me and they were kind of just bored with me. There were a few times where I would encourage you guys to ask questions because anytime I ask questions, they're kind of sick of me. They know me too well. And the machines would go off as I'm saying that. I was like, yeah, we're really fucking bored of you.
So literally guess booing.
And so we started bringing in more equipment and we started trying to use our phones and things like that just to give them something else to play with. And that's how we found out that kind of information. But I think one of the reasons they were bored with me is because I was leading this thing for a bunch of guests. So I would always start with the same questions. And I think they were like, fuck, like I'm here for eternity. Stop asking me if I'm a little girl or a little boy or how old I, like the most generic questions. Like, this is the only time I get to talk to human beings. Like, stop asking me the same thing.
So, oh my God.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
when people came in and started asking their own original questions, we started getting a lot more activity because they finally had something new to do.
Can I ask you a question that I know you might not even know the answer to, and I hate when you and I do this to each other, what? Put each other on the spot, but I'm just wondering, like, do you think those spirits like just want to hang out there, or are they like stuck there? Or
I think they're stuck there.
Did like we like help them? Now I'm worried. I'm like, am I supposed to be like talking all these spirits into the light? Like, I don't know.
I think I don't know about, so we had, we were always in contact with at least three there. One was a 12-year-old girl, one was a 14-year-old boy, and then one was a 13-year-old boy that was stuck in the closet. And like,
oh shit.
He, apparently during, that house was used during the Revolutionary War. And I think he was a slave. And he wasn't supposed to be upstairs because that was just where the master and his family got to be. And the slaves couldn't go there without permission. And he was a 13-year-old boy that saw people charging the house and he got scared and hid upstairs in the closet.
Oh my God.
Died in the closet. It's very tragic, but.
Oh my God. Horrible.
It's tragic in very, in many ways, but that's the story that we were able to figure out. And every time we've spoken to him, he hasn't been able to get out of the closet. So I think he's just stuck there.
Oh no.
No!
Yeah. So we just chat with him. Should I call somebody?
How you doing, bud? Yeah. I don't
How's
know.
The closet? Oh right. God.
So I and also like again, I'm not an expert. I was getting like I was a college student who had a cool job, but I didn't know how to like
right sure
pull a spirit into the afterlife or anything. So
right.
But that was the story we'd figured out. So
yikes.
Not to be a total buzzkill, by the way.
No, like, for real, man.
Fascinating how right. you can learn about who they are.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That is so crazy. I want to ask you guys one more thing before we wrap up. Are you guys familiar with the Waverly Sanatorium?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, it's like, this is so interesting to talk about this with you guys because I don't know that much about haunted places or paranormal activity, stuff like that. But when I was telling you guys when I was in Kentucky, yeah. I was in Louisville and Waverly Sanatorium is right outside of that, correct?
I think so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I had a drive to the airport the following morning after shows. And I can't remember if we drove right by it or right where it was like, I was kind of near there. But I looked that shit up at the airport and I just went cold. It's horrifying. Just seems like the scariest place ever. Isn't it like top 10 most haunted?
Yeah, when we first, sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you.
No, no, you know better than I do.
Please talk about this place.
Well, when we first started, the podcast, the way that I used to look up stories, I was just like top 10 haunted places in America because right. we were so yeah. early on. And Waverly, I think it was Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Yeah.
It was on every single listicle. And all I remember is that,
it was an early episode. I forget. It was really early on though.
It was super early. I don't remember what specific hauntings are there, but I remember that it was really terrible as like a hospital, like their treatments were not up to standard today. They were pretty bad. So I remember the history of it also being really tragic, but I do want to eventually go there now that you're so close to there, Christine.
Well, I was going to say, now I'm like an hour away, so yeah, we should do a little road trip.
Yes.
There's
yes.
a couple Kentucky and Ohio places we could do. We could do a whole
I would
fun
love to.
Weekend.
An investigation of sorts.
Aw. I feel like that's a good COVID-friendly place. Like, nobody's hanging out at the sanatorium. You can just go over there.
Yeah. They're long gone. I remember reading the... that wasn't it tuberculosis that's why the sanatorium got flooded with people. There were too many people and so many people were dying. They didn't have anywhere to put the bodies. And so there's a thing in there called a body chute.
That's right. The body chute.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And remembering it all, they would like just put the bodies down and like let them slide
like
down.
Like a slide. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Scariest playground ever. The slide out into.
Yes.
Shoots and ladders.
Yeah. Yes. Shoots and ladders. And that just. If you guys are at home right now and you just want to see something that will give you the willies, just Google Waverly Sanatorium because even the image of the building is terrifying.
It's like super spooky. I think they do Halloween stuff too, actually, or they used to. I don't know if they do during COVID, but
yeah,
I don't know.
A lot of asylums, it sounds really messed up, but a lot of them do Halloween events there as like jump scare attractions where you walk in each room, people jump out and scare you.
Right.
Which sounds messed up, but apparently they do it so that they can raise funds to restore it. So it's kind of doing like a teetering on a fucked up thing for a very good reason. So
right. Like the end justifies the means type situation. Yes. Right.
Can I ask one more thing?
Just of course.
You know, you're always ingesting a lot of stories that are pretty fucking creepy, you know, right?
Yeah.
How do you, what's your self-care like? How do you kind of like come down from this stuff or unplug or, you know, like I'd imagine you have to do that pretty often.
Yeah, but, I mean.
go for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the true crime side tends to be the more like dark, less humorous side of things just because, you know, it's so much more real, you know what I mean? Like so much more
heavy.
Yeah, like heavy and like it's harder to joke about. And yeah, I used to have a really hard time with that, like distancing myself from the material. And I think I've gotten to a point where I'm better at drawing boundaries on like what this week I can handle. Like, oh, this week I'm going to cover, it sounds fucked up to say like a lighthearted true crime case, but just something less, you know, sinister than like a torturous serial killer type situation. So I think I've gotten a lot better at like, in like reading like, hey, what am I up for this week? Or like, do I want to look at something a little lighter? And yeah, it's really hard. I feel like it's hard to go to sleep at night after reading, you know, hours of brutal stuff. But I think surrounding it with TV shows like The Good Place or Schitt's Creek or something is like a buffer is always healthy.
Yes,
and then therapy, a lot of therapy, you know, just a lot of therapy really is my ultimate.
I think that I'd like to say I'm not affected by it, but then again, I can't fall asleep until 4 a.m, but I'm completely just shot. I think kind of what you said, just watching funny TV shows. Also, I'm really lucky that on my end of things, my stories are less, I guess yours are probably not only darker, but like mine are probably maybe not even real. Like there's like a chance that it's just a story or a rumor. Or like an urban legend. Yours are definitely more
concrete.
Yeah, factual and like definitely happened. And so I think even though I go to sleep so late at night, I think I fall asleep easier because at the end of the day, I can kind of twist it in my head of like, oh, it's just a story.
Yeah, so. I used to have a bad habit of like I thought I had to place myself in the shoes of the victim every time to like imagine it. I would tell myself like, oh, if you really want to tell the story with like give it justice, you should like imagine it from that perspective. And it took a lot of therapy to be like, but that doesn't serve anybody. Like going through and like imagining this happening to you doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the victim. Like if you're telling the story in a, you know, safe and fair way and you know, shedding light on cases that need some more exposure, that's enough. You don't need to like go through and like envision what this would be like, you know, to give it justice. That was like some weird fucked up thing related to my OCD, I think, that I was like really invested in each case like as if it had happened to me. And I've had to like really pull myself out of that mentality and be like, that doesn't help anybody. And also then I'll be up as late as them, which doesn't serve either of us either. So.
Right.
Then we just end up texting each other office quotes until we fall asleep. So
it has its own benefit, I think.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you guys so much.
This was so fun.
Oh my gosh, we had so much fun. Hours. I could talk to you guys for so much longer.
So awesome. Many questions about
sorry
this
we
stuff.
Like
we'll
overrode the conversation. I feel like we just
that's
like
what you're here
on and
we wanted you to come talk.
I did. I also realized halfway through I was like, wow, we're talking a lot and not being asked much. I hope that like we're not totally like steamrolling you. I felt so bad.
This is amazing. I mean
perfect. Yeah.
Who knew there was that many ghosts out there just walking around doing
they're
stuff.
They're endless. There's that many just like in my closet alone. Don't worry. I have like so many collections.
Wow. Wow. Can you guys please plug your show, plug where people can find you, all of that good stuff?
Sure. Yeah. So you can find us, and that's why we drink, or as Linda M's mom likes to call it, this is why we drink.
Yep.
Except don't search that. I think that's another podcast. And that's why we drink on any podcast platform. And then our website is, and that's why we drink.com. And that has pretty much everything you could want to know somewhere, somewhere socials, on that space.
Our socials are ATWWD podcast. So.
Awesome. Yeah, we're out there on the interwebs.
Yeah,
on the what did you call it? The carrier pigeon, the instant carrier pigeon.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you for doing it. This was a lot of fun.
I feel like I needed this.
Yeah. Well, I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day, and we shall talk soon.
Yes. Sounds great.
Thanks so much,
guys. Hope I didn't get too much.
Have a good one.
See you.
Bye. Bye. Holy moly, man.
Oh my God. I'm going to start just tapping on my walls and start talking to ghosts in my apartment. Who is here?
The doll thing setting the barn on fire. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
How do they sleep at night?
It's just weird because I feel like, are ghosts just everywhere? And it's just, if you want to talk to them, you know, you just got to acknowledge them. And if you're not trying to talk to them, they're not going to bother you, because I don't feel like I see or interact with a lot of weird stuff.
Right.
What about you, Kels? Unless you're looking for it, I don't know. It's weird.
I am trying to keep my head down and power walk straight ahead. I am not looking to interact, but I mean, all of that, those stories do fascinate me. It just,
yeah, from afar.
That's for yeah,
sure. For sure. We have an iTunes review from for this episode. This is from Jacqueline from Tampa, and Jacqueline has written, "Soul Sisters, I love your podcast and has really helped me find the courage to go after my dreams. During the quarantine, I wrote the book I've always wanted to write and completed my certification as a clinical hypnotherapist." Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Leaving the world of law behind. You guys have shown me what self-help can do for me and has motivated me to get out there and help others as well. Thank you for being such great role models. Keep up the good work. Oh, Jacqueline, thank you so much. Congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to write in. And as per usual, if you haven't left us an iTunes rating and review yet, go scoot on over. Scoot on over to the iTunes. Like, remember what I said in the beginning, that the And That's Why We Drink podcast has 15,000 ratings. I mean, it really helps.
That's amazing.
And they're on like the top 20 of the charts. So if you guys can help us out, we would love to keep growing the show, keep moving up the charts. We got a couple quick segments and we'll get out of here. Yeah. I have a good shit.
Let's hear it.
I went surfing for the first time in my life.
Oh my goodness. Do and share. I'm
about to go for a second time.
Wow.
I
look at you. The new Kelsey Cook I'm looking at.
Hell hath frozen over, because anybody who knows me knows that I am I'm not into water sports. I am a land lady. I don't enjoy most sort of dangerous water activities, or even like skiing, snowboarding. I don't have a ton of experience with that. So I never ever thought I would, but my good friends, comedian Pete Lee, who we've had on the show, and his amazing girlfriend Jamie, they live near the ocean now and asked me to come over and wanted to teach me how to surf, and I just went with it. I think 2020 has been so hard for so many people that in a way it's almost making me more brave, because I'm like, well, fuck it. Like, before I was like, well, what if sharks or something happens? Now I'm like, well, I'm already grabbing my ankles 2020, so fucking whatever. Like, let's just get out there and see. And I had such a good time. I was shocked at how beautiful it was out there. And I get why people get really addicted to it. So I'm going to go again.
Dude, that's awesome. That's so fun. I don't know what my segment is, if it's a good shit or to fuck, or I'm old. Maybe it's an I'm old segment. So everybody knows I'm a big fan of the Hitachi magic wand. Thank you very much. such a great product. Everybody really look it up. I used to use one that plugged into the wall, and now I have a, cordless one that is
moving on up.
Anyway, What I've noticed in my current age is that I'm really starting to use that a lot for an actual back massager instead of massaging my beaver. And I feel like...
Oh my God. Can you please call it anything besides a beaver? What are you... No. That's...
I feel like this is just an indicator on where I'm at. As a 30-year-old woman, I've actually been using it on my back for what it's marketed as, which is, you know, on the down low, that's not what it's for.
But no, of course not. The fact that you called it a beaver just further solidifies to me how badly you need to go get a bikini wax. And I hope you
from
go
beaver
with
to
me.
Back. I don't know.
From beaver to, I mean, this is that's not
you
okay.
Know, I'm a fan of alliteration. Any you call it bush, call it beaver, call it your beauty zone, whatever you got to do.
Let's try beauty zone, perhaps.
Beauty zone. That's a new one. That's that sounds grosser, actually. That sounds yeah, I'd actually yeah. hate that more. But anyway, yeah. So that is mine. And, you know, I'm a big fan of, multi-purpose uses as for objects. And I love the fact that it massages all the things. But I feel like I need to step up my game and go back to what it was being used.
Oh, Delaney.
Well, is that TMI? We'll end it there, everybody.
When is it never not TMI? You said that you use your lube as perfume today. I mean, honestly, nothing shocks me anymore. But anyway. Well,
we love you very much, and we'll see you next time, everybody.
All right, guys, have a good one. Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We really appreciate it and would love anything you can do to help the show grow and get the word out. So if you could leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, that helps us move up the iTunes charts. If you can tell a friend, a coworker, a family member, anybody that you think would love the podcast, you can also screenshot an episode and share it in your Instagram, in your Instagram stories, anything helps. Also, if you want more of the show, if you want bonus episodes, if you want to be able to be more interactive and help choose podcast topics, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless and join there. You guys can follow me on Instagram @KelseyCookComedy, on Twitter @KelseyCook. You can go to my website, kelseycook.com, which has links to my online makeup course. You can listen to my album, Savor It, on Spotify and iTunes. And you can watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. How about you guys? Where can people find you?
You can follow me @TaylorTomlinson on Instagram and Twitter. My website is ttomcomedy.com. And you can watch my 1-hour special streaming on Netflix right now called Quarter Life Crisis.
Awesome. And you can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. That's where you'll find information about my 1-to-1 consulting and my online courses. So basically, if you're a business owner, podcaster, or comedian, and you're looking to either start those things or grow those things, you can reach out to me for more information. I also have an email list at DelaneyFisher.com where I share my favorite tools, tips, treats, and free shit. And then we just want to say a big special thank you to our wonderful editor, Emma Erdbrink, and our fantastic associate producer, Humaira Nawaz.
And you can find everything that we all just mentioned at selfhelplesspodcast.com.